started looking at it and how I felt like the Lord wanted it to go, I felt like it'd be good for this morning and tonight. I told Kim, I said, that's what happens when you miss church. You double up. You get more than I could weed out. I mean, sometimes you try to put so much in one message that you don't do it justice. And so I want to deal with this in a way that'll be helpful to the church, and especially some of our teachers in the church and leaders along those lines. But I want us to read this morning in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Lord, we come today and I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for letting us be here today. And Lord, I ask that you would just speak to our hearts from your word. Please let us all get something out of it that'll be edifying, that'll be a blessing and a help to us in our daily lives. Lord, I pray and ask that nothing would hinder in the service this morning, but your spirit would just have free course, and Lord, that the word of God would just go out in a way that, Lord, you would bless, and Lord, that it would be a blessing to your people. I pray and I ask for freedom of thought. I pray for liberty today. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. I thank you for all of your blessings. I pray for all those that are sick, those that have been sick, and those that are away and traveling. Lord, we pray that you just watch over and keep them safe as well. And we thank you once again for all your blessings. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we're going to go back and read verse number 2. I want us to really look at the last part of this verse, which maybe we've never paid very much attention to at all. But verse number 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And I want us to think about this subject this morning. Have you ever wondered, how does a person become able to teach others also? It's stated in the scripture that this is the way it should be, but how do you get to the place where you're able to teach somebody else? See, Paul told Timothy in verse 2, if we just look at it and think about it just a minute, he said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." So Timothy was a student, we might say, of the Apostle Paul. "The things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men." He said, "Timothy, what you heard me teach, you take the same thing and you teach it to other faithful men. You commit it to them. And they," it said, "who shall be able to teach others also." That's the reason of Timothy taking what he had heard from Paul and teaching it to other men so that they would be able to teach others. How do you get to the place where you're able to teach others also? And later on, the Apostle Paul lists it as a qualification of a servant of the Lord. Look down in verse number 24 and verse number 25. The Bible said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." Now, teaching is instructing. And so this is a qualification of the servant of the Lord, that they be, look what it says, apt to teach, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And if you look back just a few pages in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, it is also mentioned in the qualifications of a bishop or a pastor of a church that they be apt to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2, a bishop then, that's talking about a pastor of a church, A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now that apt to teach, what does that mean to be apt to teach? It's from a Greek word, and it's also an English word. The word is didactic, and it means this: adapted to teach. Preceptive, which means using precepts in what you're explaining to somebody. Containing doctrines, precepts, principles, or rules intended to instruct. That's what it means. Apt to teach. Somebody that can instruct others. Somebody that can give out precepts, principles, or rules. It contains doctrines. It contains precepts. That's what it's talking about. Now, what got me thinking about this was several months ago, Brother Tim Kirby, he came to me and he asked me about teaching and talking about teaching. He's been teaching on Tuesday nights at Collegians for Christ, and he asked me, he said, help me to teach. Help me to be a better teacher. And so that's really what got me to thinking about this. He told me, he said, I want to become a better teacher. How do you teach somebody how to teach? How do you get somebody to instruct them to be a teacher? And so I've been studying about that for several months now, thinking about it on and off. I thought about, I've given him some instruction, I guess you might say, along the way. I've heard him teach, and I give him a little thing here and a little thing there, but I thought about other preachers. I thought about preachers in the school. I begin to think about our Sunday school teachers. Have we ever had a time where we preached on learning how to teach? How do you learn how to teach? How can we all be better teachers? And so I've been thinking about that, praying about that, and I think the best way to go about that is just to preach on it and to teach on it and show you what it says from God's Word. And so the title today I'm taking from this passage of Scripture, where it just simply says this: able to teach others. That's what I want to preach on today. Able to teach others. And answer that from God's Word. How do you learn how to teach? How do you become able to teach others? Well, we're going to look and see what the Bible has to say about this and give some instruction this morning, and then, Lord willing, later on tonight. Now, number one, we want to say this: teaching must be practiced. Teaching must be practiced. We want to notice, first of all, the prevalence of teaching in the Bible. All through the Bible, you find teaching. You find it in the Old Testament. You find it in the New Testament. You find that Abraham taught his descendants, his children. You find that Job instructed his children. You find that the Lord taught Moses, and Moses turned around and he taught the children of Israel. All in the Old Testament, you find many examples of people being taught. You find the same thing over in the New Testament many, many times. And I'm just sort of giving a summary here of different places in the Bible where you find teaching. But Jesus taught the people, and then many times he would take the disciples aside and he would teach them. They would come and ask him questions about what he had just been teaching the people or what he had said to the Pharisees. And he would take them aside and he would teach them as well. We find that teaching is a great part of the Great Commission. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it goes on down. And verse number 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching is part of the Great Commission. Teaching and preaching is two different things. A lot of times we don't separate them, but they are two different things. They're mentioned side by side all the way through the Bible. They are two things that go together. In the Pauline epistles, we find that Paul tells us we ought to be teaching. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So we're to be teaching and admonishing one another. It's not just the preacher that teaches. It's not just the Sunday school teacher that teaches. But we in the church are to be teaching and admonishing one another is what the Bible says. So we find a prevalence of teaching all through the Bible. We find teaching mentioned in the Pauline epistles. That means the letters that Paul wrote to the preachers. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, we find teaching mentioned over and over again. Here in verse number 2, Paul told Timothy, "The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And then in the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, you go over there, and many times you find phrases like this, Psalms 119, verse 26. The Bible said this, "Teach me thy statutes." And so there's a prevalence all through the Bible of teaching. Not only is there the prevalence of teaching, and it must be practiced, but there are the people of teaching. Now I know how we are. We say, well, that message, that does not apply to me, but don't be so quick to say that doesn't apply to you. You might say, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a vacation Bible school teacher. I'm certainly not a preacher or a missionary or something like that. But the past couple of Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the home. And do you know parents are to be teachers to their children? Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says over there, God said, "These words which I command thee this day, thou shalt teach them to thy children." Every parent in here, you've got a responsibility to teach your children. You might have one or two students. You might have three children in your home, but you have a responsibility to teach them. You need to be able to teach them what the Word of God says. And so it does apply to everybody. Parents are to be teachers. In the church at Antioch, the Bible said in chapter 13, verse 1, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And this is listed as a gift to the church in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, that the Lord gave pastors and teachers to the church. And so I want to have good teachers in the church, don't you? I like a good lesson that helps me and instructs me. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 4, Paul told thee, here's what it says, the older women to teach the young women. So there's a responsibility in the church that involves all of us. I think that would encompass in some way, all of us have a responsibility to teach others the things that we know from the Word of God. That is just a very small example, but we find it all through the Bible, the prevalence of teaching. Now, second of all this morning, and I want to spend some time on this, teaching must be prepared. Teaching must be prepared. We're going to have to prepare to teach. Look, how do we prepare to teach? Well, in this same chapter, Paul gives instruction concerning that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, he said, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then in verse number 15, he gets around to the way to learn how to do that. Look what the Bible said, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, how do we prepare to teach? We're going to have to study. We're going to have to learn how to study God's Word. We're going to spend some time explaining what that means. Now, some people, and we've all heard them, and I didn't come this morning to throw stones or to belittle how anybody preaches or teaches, but I'm telling you, there's some people, they think they're Old Testament prophets. That studying is an optional thing. I've heard people quote Psalms 81 and 10. Here's what the Bible says in Psalms 81 and 10. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I've heard people quote that and say, well, you get up and preach, you don't need to study. And I mean, once upon a time, it was looked down upon to even have notes in the pulpit. I mean, you should just get up and open your mouth wide and God will just give you what. And just to be honest, when I was a little boy growing up, I just sort of figured that's how it was. I just thought the preacher just got up and God is just like God speaking through Moses, you know. That the Lord just gave you the words to say as you opened your mouth. But do you know if you study the context of Psalms chapter number 81, that is not even talking about preaching. God was talking to the children of Israel that He would bless them to the point they just open their mouth wide and God would feed them. That's what that's talking about. That's not talking about the preacher getting up and preaching on Sunday morning. I don't know. I know a lot of preachers. I don't know any that God brought out of Egypt. That was a promise to Israel concerning their physical provision. That is not talking about how to preach or how to teach a lesson. Just get up and open your mouth wide and God will fill it up. And once upon a time you sort of had the attitude, pray a little bit, get a thought on your mind and just get up and open up your mouth and just sort of see what happens. And I've heard a lot of preaching like that, and I'm going to tell you this morning what happens. Here's what happens. Different scripture, same message. If you don't study, you might go a different place in the Bible and read some scripture to begin with, but basically, you just have the same thing. And I've heard preaching like that, and I'm not throwing off. Somebody came to me a while back, and they had moved here from somewhere else, and they said, you know, I've visited around in some of the churches to see what was going on and see maybe where the Lord might put us. And they said, basically, this is what I've learned, that no matter where the Scripture begins, it's the same message. You have the gospel, and let me tell you, the gospel is important. And you'll learn not to drink, not to run around with women. So that's what I've gotten by visiting around. And you know, that sort of hurt my feelings. That made me sad. That's not all that we ought to be getting when we go to church. If we're just opening up the Bible, and I'm telling you, we got to study. That's what I'm saying this morning. We've got to study or it's just going to be the same thing. Every message, different scripture, same message. I've heard people say, they'll talk about Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12 says this, take no thought what ye shall say. The Holy Ghost shall teach you. Don't think about what you're going to say. The Holy Ghost will teach you what you're going to say. And that's where you got the don't bring any notes into the pulpit or think a whole lot about it. But let me tell you, Luke chapter number 12 is not talking about preaching and teaching God's Word. Luke chapter number 12, Jesus was talking to the disciples about when they would be arrested for preaching the gospel. And when they were arrested for their faith in Christ, and when they were hauled into the synagogues and before the magistrates, that they were not to prepare their defense beforehand. Take no thought what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you what ye shall say. That's who that was talking to, and that's what that was talking about. And when they get over into the book of Acts, that passage of Scripture was fulfilled in the disciples when they were arrested. And Peter had to give a defense before them. And what did Peter say sometimes? They said not to preach or teach in His name any longer. And Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's what God told Peter to say at that time. That was not talking about preaching on Sunday morning. That was not talking about your Sunday school lesson. Don't think about it. The Holy Ghost will just give you what you need to say at the time. Now, God's Word deserves better than just a stab at it. God's Word deserves better than I'm going to read some scripture and just see what happens. We're dealing with God's Word. And how do we deal with God's Word? Very carefully, very systematically, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we deal with God's Word? Number one, we study. That word study there in verse number 15, it means this. It means to make an effort to be prompt. To make an effort. Study, to make an effort. Webster's dictionary says, literally it means this. A setting of the mind or thoughts upon a subject. And let me tell you, that's the hardest thing in the world to do. And those of you that are students, it's hard to study. The setting of the mind upon a subject. When I sat down to study, the phone rings. I think of 15 things I need to get up and do. I always clip my fingernails right before I study. You know, you sat down, you got your hands in your belt. I think I need to do that. I think I need to check the fire. I think I need to, there's 1,000 things runs across. It is hard to study. I was talking with a preacher friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about how much easier it is to do physical labor than it is to just sit down and apply your mind to something. Give it an hour. Give it 2 or 3 hours. It's much easier to go out and mow the yard or carry in some wood or, go out and get the mail and many other things. When you study, you must apply, you must set your mind upon the subject. And here is why. For the purpose of learning what is not before known. And so we sat down to study. I've got to learn something I did not know before. The Lord told Joshua that he was to take God's word and he was to meditate therein day and night. And then he would have good success. A lot of people say, I don't get anything out of reading the Bible. Have you ever tried studying the Bible? Have you ever tried meditating in the Bible? Have you ever tried reading it more than you would read a newspaper article? I'm telling you, it's God's Word. You want to get something out of it, you're going to have to apply your mind to it. The word teach, it means this, to communicate to another the knowledge of that which he was before ignorant. And so if I want to teach something, I am to take something that beforehand I was ignorant of. Then I've got to communicate it to somebody else. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to teach our church how to teach. Something I've never dealt with before along these lines, and then communicate that to you. I've had to study about that. I've had to think a whole lot about that. Study, the Bible says. When I was in South Carolina, our pastor down there, and we were just there for a very few months, February to July, we lived in South Carolina. I was still in the Air Force, and my pastor at that time, Pastor Bowen, and I was a young preacher. I mean, I just started. And he gave me some good advice in the short time that I was there. And he told me one time, he said, Brother Wynn, study yourself full. Preach yourself empty. He said, when you get up to preach, when you get up to teach, you should know more about that passage of Scripture than any other person in the church, including the pastor. Study yourself full. See, a lot of studying, the teacher always gets way more than they're able to give out. Study yourself full, preach yourself empty. When you stand up to teach or to preach, you ought to know more than anybody else knows about that lesson. Study. Verse number 15, how long should we study? How much should we study? Here's what the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. How long do you study for a message? How long do you study for a Sunday school lesson? 2 hours, an hour and a half? All week long, every day a little bit? Here's what the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's not how long, it's not how much, it's until God says, that's good. That's how much you study. How much is that? You'll know as you study. Don't you hate statements like that? It's like somebody comes up and says, how will I know when I'm in love? Well, you'll know. Well, that doesn't answer my question. Just give me a, but you'll know. You'll know. Study to show thyself approved unto God. The only person you should ever try to please in studying, in teaching, in preaching is the Lord. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Our goal should never be, now I want to teach a lesson and I want all of my class to really like this. Now, don't get me wrong, when I study to preach, I want you to enjoy it. I want you to get something out of it, but I'm not doing it to please you. I'm not doing it to please me. The only way we'll all get out of it, what God wants us to get out of it, is if we please Him. In our preaching, in our teaching, and even in our listening. Study until it's approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Number three, look what the Bible says. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now studying is work. And I said a little bit about it a minute ago. It's hard work. It's harder work than it is to mow the yard. It's harder work than it is to go into the office and answer phones and answer questions and take inventories and study things. It's a different type of work, but it is work. Studying is work. Until it's approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, I know I've said this before, but there's a lot of preachers. Oh, they bellyache about how on Monday morning they wrote out their resignation. They're so depressed. They're so discouraged when Monday morning comes around. You know, they preached on Sunday. It didn't turn out like they wanted to. And on Monday morning, they just want to resign. I'll tell you, they'd be a whole lot less depression and discouragement if God's men would study like they ought to until it was approved unto God and they went into the pulpit or they went into the Sunday school class knowing I have done my very best. This is what God wanted me to say. This is what God laid upon my heart and I delivered what God gave unto me. If you'll do that, you can be satisfied in that. If you make a stab at it, it's one of the most discouraging things you've ever done. And I've preached long enough. There's been a few times I've made a stab at it. I'll tell you, that'll depress the life out of you. Oh, I didn't do my best. I didn't try. I didn't get the mind of God concerning this. I was ashamed. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12 says that much study is a weariness of the flesh. It's hard work to study. I've studied some subjects literally for months. I've preached some messages that the first time I thought about it was maybe a year or 2 or 3 years, and I would study about it and couldn't get any light on it, and I'd lay it aside and come back to it and lay it aside and come back to it. That's how a few Sundays ago when I preached on Balaam's donkey, I've thought for years, what does that mean? What does that mean? And I never could get any light on it, couldn't get to where it's ready. He'd come and go and come and go. I told Brother Forbes last Thursday night at school, we was talking about, I said, I finally got that donkey off my back, because I'd ask him, I said, what do you think about that donkey? Well, why was that in the Bible? So I go on to something else. I've studied some things for months. I've studied some things for a few minutes. One Sunday we came to church, and this has been a couple of years ago now, but I had a message I just couldn't get settled on, and I was sitting back there during Sunday school, and the Lord spoke to my heart and changed my whole message within just a very few minutes. And I wrote down just a very few things and stood up that morning and preached, and nobody even knew unless I told you. I've studied some things for months. I've studied some things for minutes, but I've never got up and tried to preach or teach on anything that I hadn't previously studied. If God changes your message in a few minutes, it's probably something you've been thought of and studied out before. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I can think of a couple of times specifically, and there's probably more than that, but God's merciful and gives you a short memory. But I can think of a couple of times that I've preached that I was ashamed. There's some messages you preach and you say, boy, I think I'll preach that again. And there's some you preach and you say, I'll never go there again. The two times that I can specifically think of that I was ashamed were two times that I tried to impress a preacher. And if we're not careful, our flesh, there will be circumstances, there will be people that come into our lives, and we want to impress them. Now, and it wasn't even, I didn't mean it in a bad way. But I know I preached one time out at Watauga for my grandpa Cornette. I love my grandpa, and that put a lot of pressure on me. I really wanted to do a good job, and I studied. I remember, and here's what I preached on. I preached on religion made simple, and it was out of the book of Hebrews. And I'll tell you what, that was going to be the greatest message that ever folks had ever heard. But I made that so complicated in trying to be smart. And the longer I preached it, the more I just wanted to crawl out of the church. I could tell I'd miss the whole thing. I hadn't been preaching but just a few months at that time. Sometimes you learn things the hard way. Don't ever try to do anything to impress anybody but the Lord. My grandpa's very gracious, and everybody lies and says, oh, I enjoyed that, that was good, but I knew it wasn't. And then at our church in South Carolina, the pastor let me preach so one time, and he was always wanting to get me to go to the school that he went to, and he wanted me to go to a certain school, and that just rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't do it in a rebellious way, but he let me preach one Sunday night, and I thought to myself, I'll show him how much I know. That's one of the most terrible messages I've ever tried to preach. Don't ever try to impress nobody. Doesn't matter who's there. Doesn't matter how much you think they know. Just give folks what God puts on your heart. It might be John 3:16. That might be exactly what they need. Don't ever try to impress nobody. You'll be ashamed. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to do this thing right. This is God's word. And it ought to be rightly divided. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? It means as we prepare a lesson, if we're going to teach somebody something, make sure it's right. Put it in the right context. Study it out. And this whole different message, how to study. But in its proper context, who's doing the talking? Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? When are they talking about? Find out the context of that scripture. Make sure that it is dispensationally right. What I mean by that, don't try to put the church into Israel. You'll get all kinds of false doctrine by trying to put the church back into Israel or trying to make Israel the church. Like, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. That's got nothing to do with the church. That's God talking to the children of Israel that he'd meet their physical needs. That's not talking about preaching or teaching on Sundays or Wednesday night. Make sure things are in their proper context. Don't try to put the New Testament saints over into the book of Revelation and just things like that. When we study God's Word, I'll tell you, I can't stand, and I've been in some churches where this is how they conducted Sunday school. Somebody would stand up and they'd read a verse of Scripture and then they'd go around in the room. Well, what do you think that means? And somebody else would come off with some crazy thing. Well, to me, that means this. Do you know what? That's not going to help anybody. People that have not studied and don't know what it's talking about, just making gestures as to what they think it's talking about. I'll tell you this, it means something. And it's the teacher's responsibility to find out exactly what that means and then relate it to the class or to the congregation with confidence. Thus saith the Lord, this is what it means. It doesn't help to sort of Phil Donahue or Oprah Winfrey the thing. We're going to all go around and say what it makes us feel like. You won't get any help out of that kind of a study. God's Word means something. Now, if you come to a place in God's Word and you say, boy, I just don't know what that means, what is that talking about? Just if you don't understand it, just leave it alone. Just come back to it when God does give you light on it. But don't draw other people into how confused you are about something. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth is what the Bible says. A call to teach, a call to preach is a lifelong call to prepare. How long do I study for something? If God's called you to teach, if God's called you to preach, you're going to study your whole life. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to teach somebody else, to show somebody else what God has shown you. To be able to show them. I wonder in our churches if we are actually doing right by not encouraging people to come along and teach others. We need more teachers than just the preachers. We need more teachers than just the Sunday school teachers. We need folks that will go out and teach others. Teach them the gospel. See, if you're going to be a witness, you're going to have to teach somebody the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you do that? Could you show somebody how to be saved? Could you take God's Word and show somebody, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. The Bible says Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can we teach somebody the gospel? That's what the early church did. Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Would you be able to do that? Paul told Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let me tell you, it's no good to go out here and say, Preacher Wynn said, what if Preacher Wynn said wrong? We need to go out here and say, the Bible says. The Bible says, and here's where it says it. Would you be willing? Would you be able to teach others the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to pick up with this tonight, but right here, I want us to have our heads bowed. I want us to have our eyes closed. I want our